available. Certainly good to see each one this morning. Trust that we are very thankful to God for His goodness and mercies and enabling us and having the ableness and the ability and the desire to come out this morning to endeavor to try to worship our great Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're so thankful that we have more of our number well and whole than has been over the last few weeks. Lord bless a few more, and we'll have about all gathered back in, we trust. God is good to us each and every day of our life. Want to turn just to begin with this morning and read two verses of Scripture, very familiar. And for this occasion, I would turn to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and verse 7. Our thoughts this morning are still along the same line and vein of thought that we were on last Sunday of the title of Oh, What a Savior. Now, I'd still like to look at some things along that line today. Notice in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." We certainly this morning could stay here just in these two verses and where these two verses would take us and spend the whole hour of time and even much more. There's a lot of great thoughts and a lot of information, if you would, contained right here in these two verses. There's some great doctrinal, positional, cardinal, foundational expressions, sentiments of great truth that is so near and dear unto us. While we were singing that song, Blissful Hope, I began to think about the expression there in Romans chapter 8 that says that we are saved by hope. Yeah. Now we understand and know that in the context in those verses and with that expression there in Romans chapter 8, that is a temporal, that is a timely salvation and saving and deliverance for God's born again people, disciples of Christ that understand and have some gospel knowledge and some scriptural understanding about the hope, and also of the realization of the feeling, amen, of that hope, Christ in you, the hope of glory. We hear so much about quote unquote a no-so salvation, K-N-O-W, amen, to know. You've got to know that you know that you know. Amen. I want to tell you this morning, I would not exchange the understanding that I have of the scriptures concerning this great hope in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for all the no-so salvation that man can muster and get up, because man's no-so salvation is based upon, well, if you've quote-unquote prayed the sinner's prayer correctly, if you have believed like you ought to believe, if you have jumped through every hoop that every order of people under the umbrella of Christianity holds forth. Amen. They're all different. Some are the same. Some are combinations of the same. But every one of those, amen, is a work, has a work in it for heaven and immortal glory. We know and understand for heaven and immortal glory, we are saved by grace. And as I've often said, somebody said, well, which is it, preacher? Is it hope or grace? Well, it's both. Amen. It's grace for heaven and immortal glory. It's hope for the disciples of Christ that have that understanding and that realization of the scriptures that teach us of, amen, who is in us, of this great hope in our Lord and Savior. But we're talking about, amen, the salvation, the deliverance, amen, for all the elect family of God. And the deliverance, the salvation for all the elect family of God is the common salvation. That common salvation that Jude talks about, amen, it is Ephesians chapter 2. It is on over into Romans chapter 8, amen, of foreknown and predestinate and called and glorified and justified. Every last one of the objects of God's love, of God's children given to God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, incarnate, in robed in flesh, yet without sin, that God gave him to save, and he will save them without the loss of one. Yeah. And we rejoice in that this morning.
Amen.
Of that common salvation for all of God's people. We know that not all of God's people have the same temporal deliverances.
Right.
Not all of God's people enjoy the salvation by hope to the degree that some enjoy it. Amen. But to those that have more knowledge and more understanding can take hold of, can lay hold upon that hope, as the scripture teaches us to lay hold upon that and cling to it and to take it into our breast in sweet consolation, feeling of our hope in Christ. Notice that expression, for unto us a child is born. A child robed in human form, in human flesh. What is this teaching us? It's teaching us, amen, Emmanuel, as I tried to preach last Sunday, Emmanuel being interpreted God with us, that the Word was made flesh, and that God condescended, that God stooped, he bowed, he came to earth in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that as John chapter 1 teaches us, that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So we understand three in the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and the Son of God in the very bosom of the Father, of the Holy Trinity, that Son, amen, was made flesh. The Word was made flesh. And so this is the child which is born. The child, the Lord Jesus Christ, that came into this world. As we use the text from 1 Timothy 1 and 15, that this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief, as the Apostle Paul said. So Christ Jesus, the child, was born born and came into this world. And we know in that form that he came. But notice that the Son is given. Amen. God's only begotten Son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Oh, we thank God for that this morning. Amen. That God loves his people, and he has loved his people with an everlasting love. Therefore, he has made the provisions, amen, for his people to live with him in glory. And we rejoice in that today. Amen. Of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, that God was born as the babe in Bethlehem's manger, laid in that manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes, laid in the manger. He grew up just like any other child would grow, and came of age, came into adulthood, and at the age of 30 years old, launched forth into his public ministry here upon this earth, and walked here upon the shores of time, and lived among his people, lived among those that he had called out from the walks of this life, and went about preaching his everlasting gospel. He is verily God, he is verily man. Great is the mystery of godliness. That's hard to understand. It's hard to comprehend. You know, John talked about the old apostle in his writing that to receive someone that preached that God had come in the flesh, that Christ had come in the flesh. But if one did not preach that Christ had come in the flesh, he was not to be received. He was to be rejected if he did not preach that Christ had come in the flesh. That shows me that this doctrine is a very noteworthy doctrine, that it's very important to understand that he was made like unto his brethren. He was made of the seed of Abraham. He was made of the seed of David. And he came here as a real living individual. But always remember, though, yet without sin. Oh, there was no sin in his conception. There was no sin in his life. He was the perfect Lamb of God that could take away the sin of the world, to deliver his people, the world of his people, out from under the law of sin and death. In the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that are under the law. God's people, amen, were under the law of sin and death, judicially, amen, manifestly. We could go through all of those, but in that judicial sense, amen, therefore it took the legal work of Christ on the tree of the cross to remove that of his people under the law of sin and death, that sin no more would have dominion over God's people, that they would not be under the penalty of sin, that there would be the resurrection of the dead, that there would be the reuniting of the soul and spirit with the raised, changed, glorified bodies. And then, of course, of God's people that are alive and remain at the second coming of Christ will be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, as the scripture teaches. Will be glorified, will be conformed to the image of the Son of God. And as the Philippian letter teaches in the third chapter, I believe starting long about verse 20 and 21, for our conversation, meaning our citizenship, is in heaven, from whence we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change these vile bodies and fashion them like unto his glorious body. So we're looking for the Savior, amen, to appear in the end of time. He came some 2,000 years ago. He came to this earth. The child was born. The son is given. He is the Savior. And as Joseph heard the angel say, call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. A Savior saves. And that's exactly what Jesus Christ has done. Amen. For his people, he has saved each and every one of them, legally and positionally. And as they come along in time, he borns them of his Spirit. In death, their soul and spirit is ushered into the very, very presence of the Lord himself. This Savior that is born, this is the same Savior that is going to return in the end of time. Our conversation, our citizenship is in heaven, from whence we look for the Savior. Amen. We're looking for the Savior, amen, to come again. He is the Savior. Why is he the Savior? Because he has, as the angel said, call his name Jesus. He is the Savior, the one that will save his people from their sins, and he has done that. He is the Savior. Therefore, we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that has done the saving of his people. Amen. I want to turn to the Gospel of Luke, there in the second chapter, starting with verse 25. In Luke chapter 2, starting with verse 25. And behold, you know, some few weeks ago, remember I brought out about that word that to catch your attention, behold. Well, here it is in this particular place. And behold, get your attention. There was a man in Jerusalem, because you see some very important, it's all important. But here's some more information that's going to come our way concerning Simeon and Anna. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, waiting for the hope, the comfort of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. Notice that the Holy Ghost was upon him. This is before the day of Pentecost. Amen. This is under the old economy. We know the Spirit of the Lord would descend upon individuals, giving them the aid and the strength to do what they were about to do at the time. And here, the Lord had chosen and blessed this man. And the Bible says, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Before he had seen the Lord's anointed one. Before he had seen the Savior. Right. He was not going to die.
Right.
And it came, and he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law. This is on the eighth day. This is on the eighth day after the order of the law for the circumcision of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything about Jesus was kept for us, the law, to the jot and to the tittle. Amen. He kept the law. His parents kept the law. He was in this concerning Jesus Christ. He was circumcised. But I want you to notice that Simeon, already the Holy Ghost is upon him, and the Holy Ghost is revealed to him, and now the Holy Ghost leads him into the temple at the exact moment that Joseph and Mary brings in Jesus to do unto him after the order of the law. Amen. How did he get at the right place at the right time? Amen. It was the leading of the Spirit. Brothers and sisters, how important it is that we have the leading of on the Spirit. Amen. I believe if we, amen, would concentrate on that more and think upon that more and be more dedicated to that and be more aware of that, there might be some things go better for us.
Right.
There might some things, amen, in our lives work out better for us. Amen. If we, amen, if the Holy Ghost was upon us, and if the Holy Ghost, amen, was revealing and showing us in God's Word and helping us, and we was paying attention to it to make decisions and to base our lives, the living of our lives, in accordance with what thus saith the Word of God. Amen. I tell you, I still believe there's blessings in obedience. I still believe, amen, that there, amen, are those things that only come in that way. That we know it's by God's ability. We know that He's the power source. We know we have nothing to do with heaven and mortal glory. But I tell you, brothers and sisters, amen, we also are involved in discipleship. And we need to remember that and always make that distinction. And I always want to try to make that distinction in my preaching, because I believe that it's very, very important. And I believe that's the way that the Scripture teaches it. And He came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took He him up in His arms and blessed God and said, when Simeon saw the Savior, when Simeon saw the hope of Israel, brothers and sisters, this morning Christ Jesus, our Savior, is our hope. Amen. He is our consolation. He is our comfort. Oh, what comfort there is in understanding these things of the finished work of Christ and what the three-in-one God purposed. Always in the very purpose, the very mindset of God to accomplish and to do, amen, for His people. So Simeon saw the Lord Jesus Christ, and there again, I'm sure there may have been at that time and roundabout, there could have been other parents bringing in little males, babies, to be circumcised. But I tell you, the same Holy Ghost that was upon him, and the same Holy Ghost that had revealed to him that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ, and the same Spirit that had led him at the right time, at the right place, amen, no doubt, amen, brought about a stirring, a conviction in his heart to know and understand, amen, this is the baby. Yeah. This is the one that you've been looking for.
Yeah.
This is the one that the Spirit has revealed to you.
Amen.
And what did he say after he had took him up in his arms? Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word.
Yeah.
According to what word? The word that the Lord had told him that he would not die,
right,
until he had seen the Lord's Christ. And now, amen, he says, I've seen the Lord's Christ. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to die. I can die in peace. I can die in hope. Amen. This that the Lord had been stirring him about, this that the Lord had been leading him about, he now sees it come to pass. And he feels that his race is run. His course, amen, is finished. Oh, he's ready to lay down the cares and burdens of this life now. He's ready to rest. Brothers and sisters, that's the way it is with us. Amen. In our lives and relationship with the Lord and of Christ in us, the hope of glory and the feeling of His love and grace, we can lay down our burdens. We can lay down our cares. And oh, when we come to the end of our life and we can no longer hang on to this old frail mortal existence, and our eyes close in death, we can say, yes, Lord, now let thy servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Oh,
what a peaceful time that would be if we could be blessed in such a sense as that. I went by yesterday to see the grave there in the cemetery of my uncle. Sister Marlene carried my mother over Monday. They sat out in the car of the little service that they had, and I'd stayed with Dad to try to take care of him. And so I went by to see the grave there, and I'd never been in that cemetery. Elder Gene Thomas told me several years ago, he is somewhat of a historian of Primitive Baptist, and he said that in Cherokee County, and of course that's the county that I live in, at the turn of the century of 1900, there were still three Primitive Baptist churches in existence, but they had soon went out of existence. The last one, I think, as he said, was around 1915 or 1920, and that is the place there on 411 when you come out of Cave Springs going toward Alabama, and you get over into the Alabama line. On the right-hand side of the road, it has a large cemetery, and there's a real plain, white, simple-looking building off there to the right. But nevertheless, this place there on Lookout Mountain is called Pleasant Valley Number 2 Baptist Church. But over 100 years ago, it no doubt was Pleasant Valley Primitive Baptist, or either the number 1. It was number 2, maybe the number 1, and there could have been a split off, and that's why it was number 2. And the old line eventually died off. And that's a sad thing. But nevertheless, I looked around in the cemetery, and there were folks there that had been planted there back into the 1800s. And so it was an old place. It was an old cemetery. And I came across a tombstone. I'm saying all that to get to this point right here. And I hope you hadn't forgot what I was just saying prior to that. But nevertheless, on this tombstone, it had engraved on it down at the bottom. And this was the saying. I might miss a word or two, but primarily this is what it said. It said, "I have fallen in battle, in the battle of life. I lay down here, but I will rise again in the name of Jesus Christ." Yeah. And that's what it's, and it said, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I will rise again." I was telling Sister Marlene that, and she said, "He must have believed in the resurrection." Amen. It sounds like to me he believed in the resurrection. Oh, when he said, I have fallen in the battle of life. Yes, brothers and sisters, we're all going to fall in the battle of life. And Simeon fell in the battle of life. But before he fell in the battle of life, amen, oh, he had this great testimony. "Lord, now let thy servant depart in peace, for mine eyes." Notice that. Oh, "Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation." Who had he just seen? The Lord Jesus Christ. He is calling that baby salvation. He is calling that baby Savior. Simeon, he felt in his heart that baby that he was looking at was his Savior. Think about that, brothers and sisters. Amen. That baby, I believe he understood a little bit that was God incarnate, that was the Word made flesh. I don't know how much he knew and how much he understood, but I tell you, there was something moving within him that caused him to say, "Let thy servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation."
Yes.
I don't know and understand exactly how much old brother Job knew, but he knew to know that he would see God for himself and not another. Amen. He knew enough and understood that, oh, that though the flesh worms, though the creepers devour this flesh, yet in my flesh shall I see God.
Yeah.
Oh, brothers and sisters, how sweet and wonderful it is this morning. Oh, that we don't sit in gross darkness, but we have light. We have some light. Thank God. Don't fret over the light you don't have. Be thankful for the light that you do have.
Amen.
I'm looking at several of you, and I've been in conversation with you. And I tell you what, I believe and understand that you have light. You have some great light.
Yeah.
Amen. So therefore, you rejoice. You rejoice in that light. Amen. That you have. They that sit in darkness have seen a great light. Amen. He's talking about the Gentiles. Thank God to the Gentiles. Amen. The Savior came. Oh, and thank God the Apostle Paul, the great preacher, teacher to the Gentiles. Oh, that taught about this great Savior, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So, he says, which thou hast prepared in verse 31 before the face of all before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. I could go into this, but it would get off the subject matter. But let me just tell you what I believe that sign is right there. I'm fully satisfied with it. I don't know what your thinking is, but when he says, for a sign which shall be spoken against, I believe that sign right there that he's prophesying about, talking about that this Savior, amen, that he's going to give a sign. I believe he's talking about the resurrection of Christ. Mm-hmm. Oh, he was raised for our justification. What did him being raised by the Father, what did it show? What did it declare? It declares that he is the Savior.
Right.
It declares, oh, that he accomplished that. Amen. That the Father that had sent him here to accomplish. I tell you, dear ones, this morning, that if it was not so, he would not have been raised from the dead. Oh, but he was successful. He succeeded. He accomplished his death and what it would do. And therefore, his resurrection is proof positive that he is the Savior of his people.
Amen.
And this resurrection was certainly spoken against.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, it was. There were, you know, they denied it. That the keepers were paid off to lie about it and so forth and on. You know, they even wanted to kill old brother Lazarus. He was a living testimony and witness to the resurrection power. God. But the Jews later wanted to kill him and get him out of the way. Oh, the resurrection, I believe it's the sign that's under consideration here, and certainly it was spoken against. Oh, but I'm speaking for it today. Amen. I'm speaking in the positive. I'm speaking for it. Glory to God forevermore. Amen. Of the birth and the life, the death, the resurrection, the ascension, and the coming again of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
He said,
thank you, Lord.
Let me read verse 35. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Now, let's move on to Anna. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Peniel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years. She's a very old lady. Notice this. Which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she was coming in. Notice. And she was coming in that instant. And she coming in that instant gave thanks.
Yeah.
Likewise unto the Lord. And spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem.
Amen.
Anna, this devoted, aged woman who was there constantly around the temple service, also waiting. Simeon was waiting for the consolation of Israel. Anna is looking for redemption in Jerusalem. They're looking for one and the same.
Yeah.
They're looking for one and the same. Because this great hope, this great consolation, this great Savior that Simeon talks about, Anna says that he is the redemption in Jerusalem.
Yeah.
And you see, it took the Savior to bring redemption.
Right.
The purchase, the redeeming. This Savior is our Redeemer kinsman.
Yeah.
This Redeemer, this Savior is our elder brother. Right. He's first in line. Oh, he didn't pass it on. He's the nearest kinsman. He was made like unto his brethren. Made like unto his brethren. He's first in line. Amen. He's first in rank and order. Dearly beloved, he is the one that had the legal charge and the legal ability to redeem. Oh, and he redeemed all the father's children. He redeemed, amen, his brethren. He brought forth redemption. He is the propitiation. He is the mercy seat. He is the sacrifice. He is the payment for the sins of his people. They're his people. We always remember, because the Father gave them to him.
Right.
Amen. Therefore, there he is.
Amen.
Somebody said, how did they become his? Because the Father gave them to him.
Amen.
And the Father gave them to him to save them. Amen. To save them. Oh, brothers and sisters, legally and positionally, we were saved, amen, about 2,000 years ago.
Amen.
Amen. Legally and positionally, we were saved, amen, at the tree of the cross. But then you were vitally. It actually took place, the vital sense, the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, amen, took place in you after you were conceived. Thank God forevermore.
Amen.
So she is looking for redemption in Jerusalem. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. How sweet that is.
Amen.
You know, I want to just exclaim with Psalms 22. And it's kind of easy to remember starting there. Psalm 22, 22. Psalm 22 and 22, he says. Well, let's just get that first word in verse 21. Save. Save. Save me from the lion's mouth. For thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorns. Now listen. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee.
Yeah.
Now you remember that. Remember that expression. I want to read on some of this. But we'll spring off from this verse 22 in just a moment, the Lord willing. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. I believe that this is David speaking. For as the son of Jesse is speaking of the Son of God, David, in the third person. Amen. This is of Christ. This is of the Lord Jesus Christ. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. The Lord Jesus is saying to the Heavenly Father, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. Ye that fear the Lord, and I believe this also dual application. I believe David, the son of Jesse, amen, also feels of this same in his heart. But as I said, I believe it reaches way further than David, the son of Jesse. It reaches to David, the son of God. All right. So he says, "Ye that fear the Lord, praise Him, all ye the seed of Jacob." This is the elect of God, the born again children of God. "Glorify Him and fear Him, all ye the seed of Israel. For He hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, neither hath He hid His face from him. But when He cried unto Him, He heard. My praise shall be of Thee in the great congregation. I will pay my vows before them that fear Him." We could read on with that. Oh, I'm going to tell you, brothers and sisters, there is a great sense in which David, the Son of God, amen, paid the vow of that which was sworn to in the everlasting covenant of grace. Amen. In the midst of the great congregation, for I tell you, as the Apostle Paul so ably teaches, that when Jesus was on the cross and died, we were not only on His mind, but we were in Him. And when He was raised from the dead, amen, we were raised with Him, amen, legally and in that positional sense. God is glorified, the Father is praised, and as I've tried to express to you of Ephesians 3:21, "Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end." Amen. God the Father is glorified. God the Father is praised. Amen. Through the obedience of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
For the work that He has done to save everlast one, everlast heir of promise in heaven and immortal glory. And I tell you, brothers and sisters, that God is praised and glorified when His people walk right, uprightly in His sight, and serve Him in the beauty of holiness and in a way of devotion and discipleship. Amen. God is praised and glorified. Amen. God is honored. This 22, "I will declare Thy name unto my brethren in the midst of the congregation. Will I praise Thee?" You Bible readers, you know Hebrews 2 and 13, where the writer is writing, and here quotation from the Old Testament. "And again, I will put my trust in Him." And again, in other words, now here comes a quotation. "Behold, I am the children which God hath given us." Notice up before that in verse 12, saying, "I will declare Thy name unto my brethren in the midst of the church, will I sing praise unto Thee." Verse 12 is the fulfillment of Psalms 22 and 22. Hebrews 2 and 12, saying, "I will declare Thy name unto my brethren in the midst of the church, will I sing praise unto Thee." I believe as the apostles are part, amen, of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, because first was given unto the church the office of apostle. Amen. The apostles were given first unto the church. And you remember, after the Lord had washed their feet, the Bible says that they sang a hymn and went out. There is a denoted specific place where the Lord sang with them. "In the midst of the church, I'll declare Thy name. In the midst of the church, will I sing praise unto Thee." And I tell you, brothers and sisters, I believe here in the gospel kingdom, and it's John there on the Isle of Patmos, as he saw the risen, glorified Christ walking in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, the Lord walking in the midst of the church. I tell you, when the Lord comes down by His Spirit and blesses us to sing His praise, as the apostle said, that we sing with understanding and we sing with the Spirit. Oh, and when that takes place, it is though Christ is singing with us. Amen. By His Spirit, He is singing in the midst of His brethren, in the midst of the congregation. Amen. Oh, He is receiving honor, praise, and glory. And when He says again, I am the children which God hath given me, in that great day of the resurrection, our blessed Savior, when He appears, oh, He is going to appear the second time without sin unto salvation. As the ending of Hebrews, the 9th chapter, teaches us. How is he going to appear the second time without sin unto salvation? That's not talking about or teaching him being sinless. Yes, He was sinless. There's other texts that teaches that. We know He came into this world with no sin in Him. He was without sin. No guile found in His mouth. But what is He saying there? When He comes the second time without sin. In other words, it's teaching that sin is not what's under consideration of His coming. He is not coming to put away sin at that time. He's not coming to die on the tree of the cross. He's not coming back down to this physical earth. I tell you that the Lord Jesus Christ, He finished the business that He came here on this earth to finish.
Amen.
And He ascended back to heaven, and when He comes again the second time in the clouds of glory, He's not coming back to this earth, but His people will rise to meet Him in the air.
Amen.
And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. What comforting words to speak of the hope of the consolation of Israel, of Jacob, of God's elect people, of this great salvation, our Savior, that is going to return again. I want to look at the last two verses of the letter to Jude. The last two verses, which many would call the benediction.
Yeah.
The benediction. I want you to notice verse 24 and 25. Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling.
Yeah.
And to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. Now, I hope you paid real close attention to them verses. Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling. Unto you, unto us. He's able to keep us from falling. That word falling there, the Greek word, goes right down in when the rubber meets the road about stumbling. I want to tell you, the grace of God is sufficient. And the grace of God is sufficient for God's disciples, His born again people, His disciples. I'm going to show you this two ways, all right? In a temporal sense and in an eternal sense. The grace of God is sufficient. That God has worked in you, the two will, the ability, the two will, the desire, and the to do, the ability to do. He is able to keep us from falling. He is able to help us to overcome whatever we face here in this life. He has that ability. And he does. Now, we can pay Him no attention. We cannot heed what the Word of God is teaching us. God's not going to just grab us by the nape of the neck and drag us around and tell us every thing there and make us to do what we ought to do. Now, He'll certainly make us wish we did. Amen. He can certainly make us wish we did.
Yep.
Amen. But I want to tell you, His grace is sufficient. God is able to keep us from stumbling. But I want to declare to you in that eternal sense, amen, that He is able to keep you. He is able to keep you from a final apostasy. What does that mean? That means in that eternal sense, amen, that you can never fall out of His hand.
Right.
He's able to keep you from falling. He will keep you from falling. I've given to my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish. Brothers and sisters, I'm so thankful this morning to know and understand and have the light of understanding, amen, that the born-again work of God cannot be changed. It cannot be undone. And it never needs to be done over again. I tell you, the Creator God that created His creation in 6 days, He spoke, it was done, and it's steadfast. He's the same Creator God in regeneration, as the Apostle Paul says there in the 10th verse, that we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
I tell you that new creature, that new creation, amen, is created in you in the new birth. And you cannot fall away from that. You cannot fall out of His hand. No man can pluck you out of His hand. No man can take you out of His hand. And according to the closing verses of Romans chapter 8, neither any other creature. In other words, there's no creature, there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. I tell you, the settling point for me was when I realized that I was a creature.
Yeah.
Amen. Therefore, when it says, nor any creature, nor any other creature can separate you, that means I, because I always thought I could separate myself, I could take myself out with sin and rebellion and not doing it a way of obedience. Oh, but that will not take God's people out of His hand. For we are engraved in the very palm of His hand. Oh, He said, my Father that gave them me is greater than all. So we know that no man cometh unto the Father but by Christ. And we know that no man comes unto Christ except the Father draw him. So it looks like to me that we're wrapped up, tied up, tangled all up in Jesus. And there's no separating it. There's nothing, no division, there's no dividing. Nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. And it's the love of God that moved Him. It's His love, amen, that moved Him to give His only begotten Son.
Yeah.
To send Jesus, the Word made flesh, into this world to save His people from their sins. And I love these two verses. Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of Him with exceeding joy.
Yeah.
Oh, as I read there in verse 13 of Hebrews 2, in that glorious day when He has come back and gathered all of His elect children back into the glory world, into the presence of the throne of God, and there's great rejoicing and glory and honor, amen, unto the thrice holy God. And He says, I and the children which Thou gavest me before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy.
Yeah.
With exceeding joy. Now, in that temporal sense, in a timely way, if we will give heed to Him and be led, as I talked some few minutes ago about Simeon, being the Holy Ghost on him, the Holy Ghost revealing to him, the Holy Ghost leading him, and he was at the right place at the right time, then, brothers and sisters, all we can be in a way of joy and rejoicing also in His presence. When you lay aside the things of life, when you come aside from the encumberments and the other things of this life in humble obedience on the first day of the week to assemble together with the saints of God in the appointed place and to endeavor to try to worship Him in spirit and in truth, Oh, brothers and sisters, there's great joy in our hearts from that. And there's great joy in the presence, amen, and honor and glory to our Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And even the holy angels of God, amen, rejoice, amen, in that, in the obedience of God's people. Oh, thank God forevermore. And he says, and coming to the close, to the only wise God, our Savior.
Amen.
There it is again. God, our Savior. That's exactly who he is. Our Savior.
Amen.
Oh, what a Savior. A Savior that doesn't try to save. A Savior that doesn't wish he could. A Savior that is doing everything but can't. But we're talking about a victorious, triumphant Jesus. I don't want to hear about a weak, begging, pleading Jesus.
No.
I don't want to hear that. Oh, I tell you, I've heard it a few times since I came to this realization, and I wanted to crawl under the seat.
Yeah.
I wanted to crawl under the pew. I wanted to run. I wanted to get out of there.
Yeah.
It's been at different funerals of other folks and hearing the speaking in the funeral discourse, if you please. But a weak, begging, pleading Jesus is presented.
Yeah.
It crawled under my skin. But I want to hear, and this is what glorifies God, is a victorious, triumphant Savior.
Yeah.
That doesn't try to save, but he has saved, legally and positionally, nearly 2,000 years ago, his people from their sins. And he does vitally and instantly and immediately by the direct working of the Holy Ghost and the life-giving voice of the Son of God.
Amen.
Speak life, eternal life. For he is that quickening spirit, that life-giving spirit. None can resist it. It cannot be resisted. It happens. It happens every time when he enacts his power to save. And thank God he is a temporal Savior.
Right.
He's a timely Savior. He's a timely deliverer for his people that will walk in a way of gratitude and thankfulness and appreciation and humble obedience unto Jesus Christ.